Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen, brother. You have the floor. Yeah. Amen. Oh, boy, I hope it is well with your soul. Amen. Yeah, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, it certainly is. Amen. All right. You know, speaking about Brother Mark Garrison, thank you, Brother Garrison. He, what a blessing. We watched him get invited to church, a particular family, the Phipps. They're such a blessing, Brother Dennis and Sylvia, and then his son, and anyway, their family. What a blessing. But they were the ones that were instrumental in getting Brother Mark Garrison to church when he was a lost young guy. And I think he might have been maybe closing in on the age of 20-ish, I'm just guessing. But then watching him come in, and then he gets saved, and then watching him grow through the years, you know, they're probably just in their later 30s, right? That's just guessing that that's probably their age right now. But watching him grow, and then in turn, over as he was learning, he was reaching out to people. You know, we'd have a prayer meeting, and, you know, and many times Brother Mark would raise his hand, would you pray for so-and-so? I've been having a chance to witness to him, and so he was quite the witness, and of course continues to be. But he and his wife Katie, watching them, you know, the Lord brought them in the church together, and then ultimately they get married, and now they have two girls, and they are a real blessing. So just watching him grow in the things of the Lord, and then of course Katie came from the Peterson family, and they were such a blessing through the years. So it's just neat to see that. And so, yes, let's be praying for him. I know without a doubt that Brother Garrison is rejoicing in the Lord, even as he's in this hospital, and he's looking for opportunities to tell people about Christ. That's one thing I know about him, and so he has just been a blessing. He was here, was he here with Katie or just by himself when he was here? Yeah, he was just by himself a few years back, and he was a real blessing here to the church. All right, just a reminder, next Sunday night, I'll go ahead and plan that we'll have it at 5 o'clock, all right? And I'll announce that again through the week, 5 o'clock. And I'm going to be, I asked Brother Martinez to do Wednesday night. I will ask you if you'll preach next Sunday night as well. You don't have to answer me right now. But so we'll have a 5 o'clock evening service, and then we're going to have a fellowship afterward. It'll give us an opportunity to spend some time with the Martinezes. One of the things I did check is if your flight out was like 4 in the morning, we wouldn't do that to you. But I heard it was a little bit later, so we'll have some fellowship next Sunday night and spend some time with the Martinezes. So we'll do that. Okay, so that's just a reminder. And then I think it was Brother Jason mentioned about people maybe not always coming forward, you know, and sitting up real close. So that's kind of typical. But I heard this story of a fellow who came and visited a church. And he visited, and the very first visit, he sat right in the front row, and then he came a couple more times right in the front row. And so the pastor, after about the third or fourth visit, went up to him and says, you know, it's just great having you here, and I just have to just say I really admire the fact that here you are a visitor, and you just sit right in the front row. You know, I'm just really ecstatic about that. I'm very, very happy about that. And the fellow said, well, he says, I'm a bus driver, and I'm just trying to figure out how you get everybody to get to the back like you do. Oh, well, I thought it was funnier than that. But all right, so let's go ahead. We're going to take our Bibles, and we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, and you'll be familiar with this this parable that the Lord brings forth. And he's going to teach the disciples about prayer. Now, in regard to prayer, prayer is just so fundamental for us as believers. It's our life's blood. Amen? We need to be in that Bible. We need to be in prayer. C.H. Spurgeon was asked, what's more important, you know, prayer or Bible reading? And he said, well, what's more important, inhaling or exhaling? All right? You need to have them both. But how important it is for us to pray. That's how we entered into the kingdom. That's how we got saved. God worked on our hearts. showed us that we were sinners. The Holy Spirit was doing his work and bringing us under conviction. And how did we respond if we got saved? We called out unto God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall pray. And so prayer is our life's blood. It is so fundamental. Of course, I brought it up many times, just being a coach, there are things that you really stress and emphasize. And you do it as teachers, you do it as, if you're an employer and you're teaching somebody, in many different facets or in many different arenas or areas, it's important to lay down fundamentals. If you're going to play basketball, you better know how to dribble, all right? You might not be a point guard, but you got to know how to dribble. You got to know how to do those things. If you're going to play baseball, you better know how to throw a ball. If you can't do those things, you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to be sitting on a bench. So as Christians, we have got to learn to pray. I know we all pray, certainly. But I'm here to just challenge you tonight and to challenge myself that we pray more. And, how many of us have reached that mark of praying without ceasing? How many could say, this whole week, last week, I didn't miss a second. I prayed without ceasing. That's what we strive for, but how many of us hit that? So we always can strive higher and look to reach greater heights in our Christian life. So with that, let's have a word of prayer as we're going to talk about prayer and intercessory prayer, praying for others. Father, we thank you tonight, and what a joy it's been to be here today. This is just a wonderful day. You're the Lord's Day, Sunday. How good is it to gather together in church and to be with the brethren? And Lord, we thank you for this morning and a good crowd of people, a good number of visitors. And we just thank you for the opportunity to be able to assemble together and be able to encourage one another. We pray and hope, Lord, that it's honoring unto you. We want you to be blessed by what we do as we sing praises unto you. Lord, that our hearts would be expectant, that we would come believing and that we're going to receive something in order that it would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would go out of here different than when we came. Lord, would you help us to have that kind of a walk of faith? And so we thank you tonight to be able to gather together. How good is it, again, that we can come back in the evening and rejoice with one another? And we do thank you that we can look into this particular subject of prayer. And prayer is throughout your word. It's what you command us to do. It's what you want us to do. It's what you invite us to do, that we would look unto you and pray and call out unto you, and to do it without ceasing as much as possible. And so would you help us to learn something tonight in regard to praying for others? Lord, help us to realize this is so fundamental in our lives. And if we're going to honor and glorify you, then we're certainly not going to do it if we're not praying. So help us to be a praying church. Help us to be praying individuals. And we pray that in all of this, that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and glorified. In his wonderful name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to take a look at intercessory prayer. What we have an opportunity to do and what God commands us to do is to be praying for others. Let it be, less about ourselves and let it be more about others. Because we live in a time right now when, we hear it said, and it really is true, and I don't think it's just said for any old reason. We're living in a narcissistic generation. Narcissus was that character that looked at his reflection in the water and it was just all about him. He just was admiring himself, and we just see that all the time. You know what? A lot of that rubs off on us without even us realizing it. It really does, and we have to be careful that we guard against that. It's like, wow, it is so emphasized and thrown out there that, we get a whiff of that and we can be attracted to that because, man, we just love self. The Bible says, that every one of us, that our flesh nourisheth and cherisheth itself. We're kind of wired in such a way that we want to just think about ourselves only. And God calls us to get outside of that. Amen? Amen? And so with that, because we just see it everywhere. we just the other day, we were out over at Tubbs Hill, and we were ready to go and go on that little trail, and there's a little cafe at the bottom, and so we, you know, got something to eat. I go up and get a soda, and you know, the gal, and I'm not putting it all on her, but, you know, she gets, you know, okay, I'll take a soda, and so she takes 3 steps to go and get that, and then 3 steps back. Now, mind you, those were difficult steps, okay? Arduous, and man, it was like through a lot of rough terrain, apparently, because, you know, after I get the bill and I have to pay with my card, what does it say on there? Would you like to tip? Would I like to tip? I mean, you walk 3 steps to the soda fountain and fill my Coke and then walk back. I mean, yeah, I mean, you go through a Dutch Brothers and they're asking for a tip. It's like, what did you do? Where did this come from? I mean, I tip people when they earn it, all right? You know, when somebody's serving you at a table and they're really there all the time, yes, I want to reward that. But somebody that just goes and gets you a glass of soda, come on. I mean, that's pushing it. It just seems to be more about self all the time. And that's what we're living in. And we need to get outside of that. Now, here in Luke chapter 11, the disciples see that the Lord Jesus Christ had been praying. And when he's done, you just hear, taken by it. I mean, they were impressed, like, whoa, did you just hear how he prayed? And so we look here in Luke chapter 11, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Something triggered something inside of this particular disciple, and he saw the Lord's prayer. There was some earnestness. There was something much more beyond what they probably had been experiencing in their own prayer life. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So he gives them the Lord's Prayer. That's what this is called, the Lord's Prayer. But what the Lord's Prayer is not something for us to just repeat these words all the time. This is a template or a model of how we of prayer and the things that should be included in our prayer. So he lays those things out. But he's going to emphasize something in regard to, you know, he gives them a template, a model of prayer. Now he's going to expand on this. And he says here in verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise. You see, this man has a friend that comes to him in a journey, and he knows that he doesn't have what that man needs. He wants to supply him with some bread, but he doesn't have it. So he goes to the man, he goes to the friend that he knows has the bread, all right? That would be going to the Lord, to Lord, help us. We need bread from heaven. And so he goes, and it says here, now I say unto you in verse 8, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, he's not going to rise just because he's his friend. The reason he's going to rise, because this is at midnight, this is in the middle of the night, he says, yet because of his importunity, we don't use that word. I mean, I don't use that in my normal vocabulary. I'm not sure how many times in conversation you use the word importunity. I look at Roxanne. Do you ever talk to Candy and say, you know, I just love your importunity? And, you know, we didn't really use that word, but it means persistence. Somebody that will not give up. He says, this man's not going to rise up just because you're his friend, just because of the relationship you have, yet because of his importunity, because of his insistence, he would not go away. He will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And you know those words mean ask and continue to ask. Seek and continue to seek. and then knock, and it and continue to knock, and then it'll be opened unto you. Show some persistence, some tenacity, some tenaciousness. And he says, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So we see here just a great picture of somebody who is interceding on somebody else's behalf. He's coming to the one who will provide the things that are needed for this individual who's in need, who just finished his journey. So this is what we see. We see this individual has the heart of an intercessor. And that's what we need. We need to be intercessors. Wouldn't it be good to be able to, you know, if we were graded for particular things, and the subject is intercession and interceding for others, wouldn't it be good to put an A+ to have an A+ in that column? Again, I'm going back to the teaching days. It was always nice when you had kids that, here's another A, that's an A+, or, you know, and that's a great thing when you can give that report card or mail it off to the parents, knowing that what they're in store for, and how surprised, or not surprised, but how happy they're going to be. Well, wouldn't it be good to be able to score high in interceding for others? And that's what we want to, and there's reasons why, how important it is for us to be good intercessors. And the first thing is, well, it's commanded. God commands it. What other better reason could there be for us to be an intercessor or to intercede for others? But the fact of the matter is that it's commanded of us. And we ought to just be obedient just on that end. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, and I'll just read that verse. But he says, I exhort, this is the Apostle Paul again speaking to Timothy. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, be praying, pray for the leaders, pray for the government leaders, pray that God will work in their hearts, God will do some things. You know, there may be something in you and me, and listen, there's a bit of that in me, I'll be right up front. And sometimes we think, why should I be praying for my president? He's already on a certain track, and he's just determined, because God can work. And we ought to pray that maybe something that will happen, and that our president will, you know, come to grips with what's going on, and find himself helpless, and in that instance, begin to just call on God for help. Amen. And that God would begin to open some doors, and that President Biden would get saved. Amen. I don't believe he's a saved man, all right? I'm not the Holy Spirit, but I don't believe he knows Christ. But we pray that God would work in his heart. So that's what Paul's telling Timothy. Be praying for all men. The greatest, the greatest reason for doing anything is because it's commanded by God. We want to say like Peter said in the book of Acts when he said we ought to obey God rather than men. Listen, we want to obey God. And that would be good for us to be obedient unto what he has commanded us to do. We ought to be eager and zealous to find out all that God would command us to do. God, what is it that you want me to do? I just want to be pleasing unto you. You know, C.T. Studd, when he was going through churches in the United States before he ever went out into the field, it was C.T. Studd and some of these other young men that God was using and just stirring the hearts of people, because these were young men that just were on fire for God, and they just wanted to just be used by God. And he was with Brother F.B. Meyer. So no, actually, he's in London here, because Brother Meyer was a preacher in London. And Brother Meyer asked C.T. Studd, he said, so how was your morning? How did it go? And he said, well, you know, I woke up pretty early in the morning, about 4 o'clock. You know, the Lord knows how much sleep that I need. And he said, I just found myself just going through a whole, as I was reading my Bible, just going through a list of the things that God's commanded me to do. And I just tried to put a tick or a little check next to those things if I was being faithful. You know, he wasn't saying that to try to impress at all. He meant it from his heart. I just wanted to just take a look at the things that God's commanded me to do, and I just want to make sure that I'm doing those things. You know, it's good for us folks to just, you know, stop and say, Lord, there's a whole lot of things that I should be doing, and I maybe can't run through the whole list, But let me just lay some things out. Lord, am I doing those things? As far as I know, I'm trying to be faithful to do those things. It's just good for us to be answerable to God and to make sure that the things that He commands us to do, that we're eager to do it. Now, there may be some things on that list that are not pleasing or that are not very, very pleasant to do. But when we find ourselves willing to do it and asking for His strength, God blesses in an unusual way when we're ready to make a sacrifice and to do something that's difficult. But Lord, I want to do it because I want to be obedient unto You. God blesses that tremendously, and He'll bless you and I if we'll do that. I do hope that when the Lord says to us, like in Ephesians chapter 4 and 25, verse 25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one to another. Or when He commands us forbearing one another and forgiving one another in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, that we would be faithful to do those things, that we would be faithful to be obedient. Amen. That's hopefully we jump on that. Lord, You want me to forgive? I will do that. Lord, if You want me to speak the truth and make sure that I don't shave the truth and shave it so that it will benefit me. Now, Lord, I want to just be honest. I don't want to be somebody who manipulates things. I don't want to be somebody who shortcuts things. I want to just be honest and faithful and be a blessing to my brothers in Christ and be a blessing unto You. Then God will honor that. And so the Lord tells us and the Lord commands us to pray for others. And it ought to make us quick to think of all those that we could be praying for. Amen. I mean, here's a great opportunity for us to continue to pray for Brother Mark Garrison, that God will work there, that God will work in their hearts, that God will use him. Maybe God allowed him to be sick because maybe there's somebody in that hospital that needs to hear the gospel. And so maybe that's why God allowed that. So we pray that God will just open up some doors and would work. But let us just continue to be praying for him. But it should also remind us of someone who's praying for us. Someone is interceding on our behalf. Amen. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 says, "Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us." But the Lord Jesus Christ is interceding for you and I. I don't understand. I mean, I certainly can picture the Son speaking to the Father. He's at the right hand of the Father, and He beseeches the Father, and He lifts me up in prayer, and He says, "Help him. Help him. Lord, I died for him, and my blood was shed for him, and you know the Lord intercedes for me." It's hard to imagine that because we're thinking there are billions and billions and, you know, people. How could the Lord be spending that time? Because He's in eternity, and He can do that. And so he speaks, and He goes before the Lord for WT and for Diane, and He brings them up individually and prays for them. Brother Jason over here, and Candy, and the Martinez's, and every one of us, the Lord goes and intercedes for us. That's just not filler. It's just not put in there. The Lord actually goes and brings up our name and prays for us. So we need to be praying for somebody else. We need to be praying for others as the Lord commands us. Amen? Obeying God's commandments ought to be characteristic in our lives. You remember Samuel, when he brought up that statement in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. He said, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." He was talking about just the Jews, his fellow Israelites. He said, "God forbid that I should cease to be praying for you. That would be sinful. And so I'm going to continue to pray for you." Praying and praying for others is not an option for us. It's a command. And if we're not in the habit of praying for others, then really that's a sin. We're sinning against God because God commands us to pray for others. And you know, we try to make it available here in this church to have times of prayer. You know, when the ladies get together with the ladies' Bible study, they spend some time in prayer. We have the men's prayer going every week on a Friday morning. I know that doesn't always suit everybody's schedule, but we have before Sunday morning, we have that 9:30 meeting where we get together and we pray for the services throughout the day. Sunday school, we bring up request, and Brother Ray or Brother Jason feel those requests and then have somebody to pray, or they pray themselves. So we have all those opportunities. But so you know, we need to avail ourselves of those opportunities. It's just good when we can, fulfill a commandment that the Lord's given to us. But we can fulfill it certainly as individuals, but it's great to be able to be in a group and to pray together. It is just a blessing, again, to gather together in all of these different settings and to just bring these things before the Lord. The Lord said that men ought always to pray and not to what? And not to faint. We ought to always pray and not to faint. We're told to pray without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I think that's verse 17, 18, somewhere in there. And then Colossians 4:2 says to continue in prayer. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, after all of the equipment we're supposed to wear as soldiers, it says that we're to praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, for all of the saints in the Spirit. I might have butchered that a little, but you know what? We're commanded to pray for one another. And you know, something else is the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16, he said, and this is my prayer for you. And again, those aren't the exact right words, but he said, making mention of you in my prayers. And then he goes through a list of things that he's praying for them. But he said, making mention of you. You know, the word mention just means to refer to something and not in great detail. You know that sometimes, you know, if we have our druthers and we have a choice, it's always good to pray with detail and praying for specific things. But there's sometimes when, you know, there's just so many people to pray for, or there's so many things on our plate at the time we're out and about. You know, sometimes it's just good to just mention someone. And you know, you say, you know, pray for Brother Jason. Lord, I know there's a whole lot on his plate. Just help him today. And you know, that God's honored by that. Now, yeah, when you have more time, you pray about the particular things that he has to deal with at work, or some things that he has to face that particular week. You know, these dear ladies who teach Christian school, pray for the challenges that they face. Some of you have some physical issues. Pray for the challenges that some of the individuals in this church face. And so we have that opportunity. But sometimes just even making mention is honoring unto the Lord. But Romans chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Then another good reason to pray for others is the second thing is it takes the emphasis off of self. It takes the emphasis off of self. You know, that's always a good thing. Some of you are like, what? You're taking the emphasis off of me? That's not good. that's what our old nature likes to say, right? Because we like it to be about me. You know how we are. If we're like, close by a conversation and somebody's talking and all of a sudden they begin to talk about us, what are you and I inclined to do? If the conversation's over here, we're kind of like, what are they saying? And then if they're saying something complimentary, we really like that, don't we? Yeah, we just like to hear good things about ourselves. That's just how we are. But you know what? It's just good for us to push away from self and let that be that if it's more about others, it'll be less about self. And that's a good thing. You know, Philippians chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4, I'll just turn there and I'll read these verses. This is the great chapter that speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ when it says in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," about how he became a servant, how he humbled himself. Well, that's how the beginning of the chapter says Christ did for us and the example that he set for us. It says this, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." And verse 4 goes right along with that. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What is that telling us to do? It's telling us to put self last and put others before us, and let's pray for somebody else's needs, and then put ours at the tail end of our conversation, of our prayer with the Lord. In fact, sometimes, you know, we could get into praying so much for everybody else, and then we just end up leaving and we don't even think of ourselves. Guess what? I think the Lord will take care of your needs if you're just constantly putting everybody else before you. And if I'll do that same thing, God is honored by that. But it's just a good thing because it takes the emphasis off of ourselves. Paul described this battle that he had in the flesh. Brother Jason brought this up, and when you were in Romans chapter 7, you know, when Paul was struggling with the old nature, and obviously, there was a time in Paul's life. Again, I think it was, Paul is such a type A guy. He is so driven that I think probably some of the struggles he had was just to wait on the Lord because he wanted to surge ahead and just take care of business. That's how he did it when he took care of those Christians and when he hailed them into prison and when he, you know, stood by and watched Stephen being stoned and he was, you know, totally for that. I mean, that was the apostle, that was Saul of Tarsus, who just got things done. Boy, you know, you like to have people that get things done, but he had to learn something different, that now that he knew the Lord, it was the Lord who was in charge. And the Apostle Paul, don't you think he had some struggles with that? Don't you think he battled with, oh, I want to do that. No, Lord, I've got to learn how to trust you. But my flesh is so wanting to do this. But that's what he battled with, along certainly, I'm sure, some other things. But he said in verse 19, for the good which I would, I do not. And he said, but the evil which I would not, that I end up doing, that I do. The things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And then in verse 24, he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then the beginning of verse 25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is he that'll give me the victory. I just have to learn how to trust him and seek his face. And it needs to be less about me and more about him. So whenever we stop thinking about ourselves for a while and start thinking of someone else, that's a good thing. You know, that's a good remedy and a good solution for getting, you know, we can become discouraged really easy. And sometimes we can find ourselves in down in the doldrums. You know, the doldrums, that's, you know, you don't use that word a whole lot, but that's just down in a basement, you know, down in a place where, you know, mentally, and we don't want to be there, but we find ourselves discouraged. You know what a good thing to do is just to begin, start thinking of others and thinking about how we can be a blessing to someone else and maybe sending a text to somebody and saying, you know, I'm praying for you. And then we begin to pray for this other person, and then we begin to, you know, write one of those old-fashioned letters that you actually mail at the post office. Wow, what is that, Brother Garcia? Or we make a phone call, or we do something for somebody, or we go to the store and purchase a gift and do something. You find yourself, I'm not even discouraged anymore. I'm not depressed. I'm finding that I'm happy. You know what? We put somebody else first. We'll find a joy that comes in our heart, and the Lord will give that to us. And what a difference we can make in people's lives if we'll just come boldly to the throne of grace for others, if we'll just learn to pray for others and ask God to work in hearts. We've seen so many prayers answered through, you know, like the men's prayer group and in Sunday school when those requests are brought forth, and just watching God, he honors, and it's just good to be a part of. And it becomes less about us, and that's a good thing. If you want God's blessings, then let's pray for others. Amen. And then the third thing, it honors God through faith. It's honoring unto God through faith. We'll just take a quick look here at Luke chapter 7. This is that great story of this Roman centurion, and he has a servant that he wants to see healed. This servant is very, very sick. And verses 1 through 10, I'll just read through this quickly. I'm not going to be able to dissect this passage, but we can see the story here pretty clearly. It says here, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Now, that's a great way to approach the Lord. He was this humble. Lord, I'm not even worthy that you should even come under my roof. I'm not worthy that you would even listen to my request. But I know you, and you're the one that I come to because my hope is in you and what you can do for my servant. And so that's just a great way to approach the Lord. Wherefore, in verse 7, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, if you'll just say in a word, Lord, I know and trust and believe that my servant can be healed. He says, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. And he turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, the Lord didn't always do this, but sometimes he showcased some people because of what he saw in them. There's a few that come to mind, but he did this with this individual. He turns to the multitude and he says, I want you to take a look at what's going on here, because this is what I would love to see in all my people. This is what I want to see everyone do. He says, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. So here's a man who just humbly comes to the Lord, and we see that the Lord was pleased with this tremendous amount of faith. Lord, you could just say it in a word, and I'll believe you. You know, sometimes we do that Gideon prayer. And, you know, I didn't see the Lord really chastising Gideon for saying, you know, could you make the fleece full of water and the ground dry around it? And then, you know, the next night, the opposite. And the Lord did that for him, you know, and he needed to see a sign. And God graciously did that for Gideon. But wouldn't it be good if we didn't have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, would you show me some things? Would you reveal? Wouldn't it be good to just say, Lord, I just trust that you're going to do what your word says that it's going to do. And I just want to just trust your word. You know what? If we get to that place, the Bible talks about the just shall live by faith, that we're to walk by faith and not by sight. That's honoring unto the Lord if we just say, Lord, yeah, I see everything go into pieces, but I know you're on the throne. And I just know you can do great things. I don't see it, but I just know it's going to come, because I know that honors you, and we want to do it. We want to honor you, and we want to see you do your work so that people would look and go, wow, only the Lord could do that. And we don't want to do it so that we could be lifted up. That would certainly be for the wrong reason. But if we did it because we want to see him honored, God's pleased by that. We just know that you're a great God. And the Bible says the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Let's not limit the Holy One of Israel, amen? Let's just trust that he can do whatever he wants to do. Now listen, that doesn't mean that every sick person you pray for is going to get well, that every situation is going to work out how you want it to, or that every lost person you pray for is going to get saved. But what it does mean is that you know that God has heard your prayers and that he will do what he sees best. Amen. And that's what it comes down to. He told us that we're to just pray for his will, that his will be done. And so we pray and we say, Lord, you know, I mean, there's people I'm praying for and I want to see them saved. And I believe God wants everyone to be saved. You know, does that mean that, you know, because not everybody gets saved. We know that. A lot of people are going to end up in hell, but we pray and we say, Lord, would you just do, you know, may your will be done in whatever matter. You know, we pray, Lord, I would love to see this, but I back away from that and just say, let your will be done because you know best. And that's honoring to God. And may we learn to do that. Let me just say this. Your earnest prayer for others will touch the heart of God if we come to God with some earnest prayer. This story of J. Hudson Taylor, let me turn to it here, is just a tremendous story. Of course, J. Hudson Taylor was a great missionary to China, and God used him in an incredible way. But I'm just going to read this out of this book here. And it said, I had many opportunities in my early years of learning the value of prayer and of the Word of God, for it was the delight of my parents to point out that if there were any such being as God, to trust Him, to obey Him, and to be fully given up to His service, must of necessity be the best and wisest course both for myself and others. But in spite of these helpful examples and precepts, my heart was unchanged. Often I had tried to make myself a Christian, and failing, of course, in such efforts, I began at last to think that for some reason or other I could not be saved, and that the best I could do was to take my fill of this world, as there was no hope for me beyond the grave. That's where young J. Hudson Taylor was. And while in this state of mind, I came in contact with persons holding skeptical and infidel views, and especially and accepted their teaching, only too thankful for some hope of escape from the doom which, if my parents were right and the Bible true, awaited the impenitent. It may seem strange to say it, but I have often felt thankful for the experience of this time of skepticism. Anyway, I'll go a little up here a little further, a few paragraphs. He says, let me tell you how God answered the prayers of my dear mother and of my beloved sister, now Mrs. Broomhall, for my conversion. On a day, which I shall never forget, when I was about 17 years of age, my dear mother was absent from home, and I had a holiday. In the afternoon, I looked through my father's library to find some book with which to while away the unoccupied hours. Nothing attracted me. I turned over a little basket of pamphlets and selected from among them a gospel tract which looked interesting, saying to myself, well, there will be a story at the beginning and a sermon or moral at the close. I will take the former and leave the latter for those who like it. He wasn't interested for the right reasons. I sat down to read that little book in an utterly unconcerned state of mind, believing indeed at the time that if there were any salvation, it was not for me, and with a distinct intention to put away the tract as soon as it should seem dull. I may say that it was not uncommon in those days to call conversion becoming serious, and judging by the faces of some of its professors, it appeared to be a very serious matter indeed. Would it not be well if the people of God had always telltale faces, evincing the blessings of gladness, of salvation so clearly that unconverted people might have to call conversion becoming joyful instead of becoming serious? A nice little thought that came to his mind. He says, well, let me just continue reading from where that's at. He says, little did I know at the time was going on in the heart of my dear mother, 70 or 80 miles away. She rose from the dinner table that afternoon with an intense yearning for the conversion of her boy, and feeling that, absent from home and having more leisure than she could otherwise secure, a special opportunity was afforded her of yielding with God on my behalf, of pleading with God on my behalf. She went to her room and turned the key in the door, resolved not to leave that spot until her prayers were answered. Hour after hour did that dear mother plead for me, until at length she could pray no longer, but was constrained to praise God for that which His Spirit taught her had already been accomplished, the conversion of her only son. I, in the meantime, had been led in the way I have mentioned to take up this little tract, and while reading it, was struck with the sentence, "The finished work of Christ." The thought passed through my mind, why does the author use this expression? Why not say the atoning or propitiatory work of Christ? Immediately the words, "It is finished," suggested themselves to my mind. What was finished? And I at once replied, "A full and perfect atonement and satisfaction for sin. The debt was paid by the substitute. Christ died for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Then came the thought, if the whole work was finished and the whole debt paid, what is there left for me to do? And with this dawned the joyful conviction, as light was flashed into my soul by the Holy Spirit, that there was nothing in the world to be done but to fall down on one's knees and accepting this Savior in His salvation, to praise Him forevermore. Thus, while my dear mother was praising God on her knees in her chamber, I was praising God in the old warehouse to which I had gone alone to read this little book at my leisure. Several days passed before I ventured to make my beloved sister the confidant of my joy. And then only after she had promised not to tell anyone of my soul's secret. And when our dear mother came home 2 weeks later, I was the first to meet her at the door and to tell her I had such glad news to give. I can almost feel that dear mother's arms around my neck. And she pressed me to her bosom and said, "I know, my boy. I have been rejoicing for 2 weeks in the glad tidings you have to tell me." Why, I asked in surprise, "has Amelia broken her promise?" She said she would tell no one. My dear mother assured me that it was not from any human source that she had learned the tidings, and went on to tell the little incident mentioned above. You will agree with me that it would be strange indeed if I were not a believer in the power of prayer. What a wonderful thing that if we'll just give ourselves to prayer and just trust God, the things that God can do. You know, it may have been so with me when I think about my salvation. I was just out and about with a friend of mine and in a swap meet, and I've told you before, but it just, out of nowhere, conviction came over to my heart. And I knew I was lost and I was doomed. I didn't understand how to be saved, but I just, in the middle of a swap meet with people all around, and I told my friend Mike Boyer, "Mike, I've got to get going. And so I'm going to go talk to somebody at the church." And I don't remember all that I told him, but I went and I was led to Christ by a man at the church. But it may have been somebody just praying. I never found out, but it could have been somebody that just, could have been my friend Brian, could have been my friend Mike Sosa. Maybe they got on their knees that afternoon and said, "God, would you just help Reuben? He needs Christ." And God may have said, "Yes, and I'll bring him under conviction." And so we don't understand and we don't know, have all the answers, but let's just be praying. And maybe God lays it upon your heart and brings some individual to your mind. It's good to just say, "Lord, there's somebody on my mind. I pray for them. I don't know what it is. Maybe they need Christ. Maybe there's something going on with them right now. But would you take care of them?" I think of Betty, how Betty was led to pray for Park when he had that accident. You were telling us about that just a few weeks back in probably one of the senior luncheons, and just what God did and how he protected Park, who had that accident. I just thought of that right now, and God led you to pray for him. And that may have been what kept Brother Park alive, and how God brought a message to your heart about the redirection of your life. Amen? Listen, it's just good for us to be praying. Luke chapter 18 and verses 1 through 8, I'll just read this. It just says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, she won't leave me alone. I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" May we just simply learn to trust the Lord. And then just in this last thing, it's God's plan in how he works in people's lives. It's God's plan in how he works in people's lives. He wants us to be praying for one another. Certainly Christ prays for us, but he wants us to be praying. And he wants us to, that's how he wants to work. He wants to work in our prayers. And so let's never make light of it. Folks, you know, it's good to gather together for services and for outreach ministries and potlucks. And we're Baptists. Yeah, hearty amen to that one, right? But nothing beats a prayer meeting. Nothing beats a time when we can be praying with one another. And I know that the Lord tunes into that. Just like I tuned into certain shows when I was a kid, the Lord tunes in to when his people gather to pray. I think if we could see heaven, I'm sure that, kind of in human terms, when the Lord sees a prayer meeting and people really beseeching him, he might just say, "Gabriel, Michael, hold off. I want to be in on this. I want to hear this." And the Lord gets involved with that. Amen. So may we just learn how to pray, to be able to pray for one another's needs and request, to be able to just pray for God to help them and to bring somebody to Christ. In Colossians 4:12, you see Epaphras, his intercessions. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You know, that's what my prayers are for you. I have this list of everybody here in church, and I keep this list with me in my car. I have it with me in my briefcase. I have it in various places. I don't say that I pray for this list as much as I should, but I have it always around me, and I do pray for it regularly, and I seek to bring your names up before the Lord, just praying that God will work in your life and help you draw closer to Christ. But it's something that we ought to do for one another. That when we come to a prayer meeting and we ask for a request and we pray because it's just the right thing to do. It's a blessing to pray for men and women and their families, and whenever we have that opportunity. And what a blessing it is to pray for our missionaries that are on the mission field. Amen. And as the Martinez's head back, what a great opportunity that we have to be praying for them. Let's remember, too, how James chapter 5 and verse 16 says to us, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I know that God will honor this. So tonight, Christian, we have to just ask the question, are we faithful intercessors? Are we faithful to do that? Do you believe his promises when he says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not? And, you know, I just happen to think that if we're faithful at interceding for others, that somehow, as I mentioned earlier, that all of our needs and our concerns and our heartbreaks, God will just take care of those things. Not that we're not going to go through some things, but God will just take care of the intercessor, because that's pleasing unto him. That is Christ-like. And so may we just continue to pray for one another. Amen? With that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight. We're grateful to you. Thank you for everything that we have in Christ. Lord, we're saved, and for those of us here that know Christ, and I hope that's every single person in this auditorium tonight, what a great thing that we have eternal life and we're forgiven. Lord, you've called us unto a number of things, and one of those things is to be praying. And Lord, I think of myself first, because there's a bar that's set pretty high, and I know that I don't hit that bar, but I want to reach higher. Sometimes I fall pretty short, and sometimes I know I reach higher. But I pray that you'll help me each and every day to be a better intercessor. And Lord, would you help each and every one of us to learn to pray for one another? I know that if we're praying for one another, we'll be less likely to want to engage in conflicts with one another. If we just pray for one another and love one another, help us to do that. Help us to fulfill your commandments and your exhortations to us to be faithful prayers. And Lord, we thank you once again for the opportunity to see this in your word tonight. We ask it all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.